We're up to what's called the 20th chapter, the 12th verse. We've been learning Tzofar HaNa'amati's speech, and Eov had told them, guys, just be quiet. I've done nothing wrong. You have nothing to point to. And so Eov gave it to his friends. He said, I suffer and you guys make it worse. And Tzofar had said, you know, you've said so many powerful things, I can't withhold my speech. I have to talk. And and you've come out against us, so I have to express myself. And Tzofar tells him, you can't argue with what everyone knows, and that is that the pleasure that the wicked have is short-lived. And even though they seem to have a success, their success quickly fades, and their own children find themselves in a situation where they have to appease the people who their father swindled. And we had left off Pasuk Yudalef. Eov said, Atzmotav, his bones, Male'u Alumav, are filled with the sins of his youth, Ve'imo Alafal Tishkav. And when he is laid to rest, those sins stick with him. And we're up to Pasuk Yudbet, Im Tamtik Vifiv Ra'am. Just as his evil ways were sweet to his mouth when he did them, Yachidena Tachat Leshono. And then he used to hide it under his tongue so that no one knew the way he was cheating on his taxes and the way he was swindling people. So he kept the things were sweet to him to live that type of lifestyle. And right now, when he's getting away with it, everything seems like it'll be successful. He keeps the secrets, and then he figures things will go good for him. Yachmol aleha. And he loves his ways. He watches over them. Velo yazena. And he doesn't leave them. Veyimna'ena betoch chiko. And he keeps it a secret in his mouth. He keeps it quiet. His plans, how he cheats people. Lachmo bimeav nehefach. And the payback will be, just as he kept his secrets in his mouth, he kept his secrets about how he's going to swindle people, his payback will be that the food, lachmo, his bread, his food, b'me'av nehepach, will be overturned in his stomach. He won't digest it well, and so to speak, he'll vomit what he's eaten. Nerorat pitanim bekirbo. The very food he eats will be like the bitterness of serpents. Petan is a type of snake within him. Notice how Tzofar is making the case. The wicked, you see them succeed, but you should know they pay for it. In the end, it all turns back against them. And here, Tzofar is saying something which we already learned this concept in Mishlei, that when someone steals something, he looks at it and he feels like he's gained an asset. When in truth, that very thing is a burning testimony in his hand towards his own future destruction. Why does someone steal something? Why does someone take something that he has no right to? Because he figures, if I fend for myself, if I fight for myself, that's how I'll get wealthy. And God has a way of turning the tables, that the very thing which he thought he will gain, that will lead to his own destruction. Lachmo, the bread that he stole from the poor, the me'av ne'epach, turns over in his stomach. Merorat betanim bekirbo, it becomes like the bitterness of serpents within him, that will cause his own destruction. Chayil bala vaikienu. Even though he swallowed a tremendous amount of wealth, it won't last by him. He will vomit it. Mibitno yorishenu el. From his stomach, God will make all the wealth come out. Now, the answer seems simplistic. And we discussed last time that part of what we learn from Eov's friends are the simplistic answers that people sometimes give themselves. You know, it doesn't pay to be wicked. It doesn't work, these answers. You know, there are people who we see succeed, and their success is long-term. These answers were not accepted by Eov, and to an extent, according to one version in the Gemara, they weren't accepted by God either. These simplistic answers that say, well, wicked people, you'll see, it's very short-lived. We won't see. There will be wicked people who will not get caught. There will be the Madoffs who die with all the wealth. And everyone else only discovers it. I'm saying, he didn't. That would be a classical case if I wanted to make the case for Tzofar. But at the end of the day, there are people who get away with it. We hear about those who don't. But then we see firsthand those who do. And this doesn't answer, like we learned in the Gemara, Tzadik v'ra lo, rasha v'tov lo, that there seems to be contradiction that happens at the same time. Sometimes you have a tzaddik, it's bad for him. Sometimes you have a tzaddik, it's good for him. If you have a formula which says, well, the best thing for a tzaddik is he should suffer in this life, so how come you have tzaddikim that have it good? Moshe Rabbeinu asked God, he said, I don't see consistency in the world. It's not like every tzaddik has it good. It's not like every tzaddik has it bad. It's not like every Russia has it good. It's not like every Russia has it bad. When you look at the world at large, you see, sometimes it goes this way, sometimes it goes that way. That would lead a person to the conclusion, there is no order. But there is an order. So how am I to understand that? The answers that are given here should not be acceptable by us. Meaning, Eov doesn't buy them, and we shouldn't buy them. So then why are we studying them? To an extent, we're learning what are the simplistic answers that people give themselves. So he's getting away with it now. He'll pay for it in the end. It's true. He will pay for it in the end. But part of the answer is that the end isn't necessarily here. One of Eov's errors is that Eov views the world as a closed circuit. What I see here and now. And even in the here and now, his friends are trying to answer him, it'll all make sense. It's wrong. It won't. The challenge of being a ma'amin is that it won't make sense. That it won't, you won't have perfect answers, you'll have partial answers. We don't say it's completely illogical, we say we have certain answers, but if things made perfect sense, then life would be easy. It would be easy to believe. Part of the emunah is the capacity to connect with the deep inner voice within us that knows, what we would call the neshama, that knows what's right, what we might call a conscience. We all know deep down what's right, but we all know what's above it, what we want in life. What we want has nothing to do with what's right. Deep down we want what's right, but what we sense firsthand is what we want that's physical. What we want deep down inside that's spiritual, that's what we have to uncover. His friends are making life simplistic. Look at the evil. It doesn't last. You'll see. You know this. You can't argue with this. Al yere viflagot narei nachalei devash vechema. The wicked person, he won't see when things go good. He'll see the rivers of honey, of butter. What will he see? He'll be sucking poison. He won't see things when they go well. This is metaphorical, right? He won't see the rivers of honey and butter. Fine. Meshiv yaga velo yivlam. He won't have a choice, but all the things he toiled for, he'll have to give back to the people he robbed. He won't be able to swallow it. He won't be able to retain it. Kechel temurato velo yalos. In accordance with the wealth that he has, so too will be his payback. Just like he stole, that's the amount he'll have to pay back. Velo yalos, and he won't have time to rejoice, to enjoy the wealth. He won't make it back. Kiritzat azav dalim bait gazal velo yivnehu. Because when he bashed the heads of the poor, he left them. Kiritzat, he bashed them. Azav dalim, he left the poor. Bait gazal, he stole their homes for them. Velo yivnehu, but he won't have a chance to build his own home. God says, just like when you destroyed them, you didn't give them hope to rebuild, so too you won't have hope to rebuild. Ki lo yada shalev bibitno bachamudo lo yemalei. Because he never had a moment of calmness. He was always thinking, how can I get more? One of the traits of the wicked is they're always desiring more. So they're always finding new plots to get more. By the same token, Hashem says, so in his desire, he also won't make it away. All his wealth will be lost. He was always seeking to take others' wealth, so too all of his wealth will be lost. Ein sarid le'ochlo. He never left over for the next morning. He was always trying to enjoy everything today, and he figures, tomorrow I'll steal again, I'll have more tomorrow. It's again, you'll notice that's a trait, it all goes hand in hand. When I'm not happy with what I have, I always try to get more. If I always try to get more, then I need to enjoy everything today. If I need to enjoy everything today, then I can have credit card debt, and I can max the credit card limit. I'll just get more next month. It's all part of the same cycle, the here and now cycle. Enjoy now. Why enjoy tomorrow what I can enjoy now? The Rav Sadia Gaon says, all of Mishlei can be summed up into this thought. Invest in long-term pleasure. Long-term pleasure means I can hold back on spending my wages on the candy bar and spending my wages on... You know, the Gemara says, why do the poor remain poor? Because they buy treats. Because they buy treats. Because they figure, I'm never going to get rich, so they never save. They never save, so they can never get out of the hole.
If you study millionaires, like the millionaire mind, they say that the number one trick of all millionaires have in common is postponed gratification.
So that's Mishlei. That's how Rav Sadia Gaon sums up Mishlei. He says, you know what Mishlei is teaching us? Long term. What's the antithesis of being a moral person? That's a person who always wants short term. Now, to an extent, society today teaches us that. That's what all the commercials are trying to teach us. Enjoy it now. So Far says, you know, the wicked, they won't make it. And Sarid Lochlo, they never leave anything over. They finish everything today. Al-Kain lo yachil tuvo. That's why, ultimately, Al-Kain lo yachil, they want their good, their success, will not be true success. Lo yachil is, will not be successful. Tuvo, the things that are good, even the wealth that they have, they'll squander. Dimlot sifko yetzer lo. When they get what they want, when they have enough, when they have the epitome of wealth, then, yes, all things will go bad on them. Kol yad amel tivoenu. All the hands of those that they cheated will come back to haunt them. Yehi limalei vitno. Hashem will fill his stomach, so to speak. Just like he filled his stomach of others' wealth, Hashem will fill his stomach of the tzaros that will come upon him then. Yeshalach bo charon apo. Hashem will send his anger against him. Deyamter aleimo bilchumo. And Hashem will make it rain upon him, will shower upon him at the time when Hashem, so to speak, goes to war against him. Bilchumo is like vehilachem imo, when Hashem goes to war against him. Hashem has patience. Gives the person time to fill up his lot. And then Hashem says, okay, now it's time to go to test. Again, remember, these are the claims that we don't necessarily buy into. Should we make a run for it, finish his speech? Yeah? Okay. Now, let's do Chassidut. We'll finish it next time. Should finish it? What's the vote? How many people say to finish it? Okay. Say it. So, we'll finish it. A few more psukim. Yivrach mineshek barzel. When he tries to run from metal armor, from those that try to chase after him, tachlefegu keshet nechusha. So Hashem will ensure that the copper, he runs away from the metal armor. Hashem will ensure that the copper bow pierces through him. He won't be able to get away. He will run, and they will catch up to him. He's using a metaphor. He'll run away from the metal armor, the sword that you fight head on. He'll try to run away with the wealth. So Hashem will ensure that the bow, the arrow, the copper arrow will catch up and pierce with him. Shalaf vayetze migeva uvarak mimerorato yaloch alav emin. Shalaf. He was prepared, he was prepared like someone who draws the sword. So Hashem says, Shalaf Vayetze Migeva. He drew the sword, and whoever drew the sword upon him, it came out of the sheath, Uvarak, and the shine, the glitter of the weapon, Mimerorato, the weapon will move forward from its potential bitterness to attack upon him, Yaloch alav emim, and the weapon will advance towards him in a threatening, menacing manner. That's the promise to the Rasha. So he is describing, we mentioned many times in Tanakh, sometimes the Tanakh describes a long period in one pasuk, and sometimes the Tanakh goes down to seconds. So notice how now, when it's coming to, he wants to describe the end of the wicked, so he's describing how the sword is drawn from its sheath, and the glitter is glittering as the sword advances with bitterness in a menacing way towards him. Kol choshech tamun litzpunav. All forms of darkness that he spread upon others is waiting and hiding for him in the storage houses. Te'ochlehu esh lo nupach. He will be consumed. He will be burnt by a fire that wasn't even encouraged by the fanning. Nupach is to fan the flame. A fire that didn't even need fanning will destroy him. And the idea here is that on a low flame he will slowly be destroyed. That's part of the cruelty is describing that he was cruel towards others. His death won't be in 1 second, but rather on a low flame he will be burned. Yera sarid de'aholo. Whatever is left in his tent will also be harmed and destroyed. And that's a reference to his wife and children. So this is Tzofal's simplistic view of the world. When a person is wicked, God gives him time to enjoy it all, and then he is destroyed. He is destroyed in a fearful way, slowly and painfully. Even his family is destroyed. Yegalu shamayim avono. It will seem as though even the heavens know how bad he is, and that's why he's suffering so. Ve'eret mitkomama lo. And it will seem as though even the earth has risen against him. Everyone's his enemy. When the time comes for him to fall, it'll seem like everything's turned against him. Yigel yevul beitoho. The crops of the people of his home will be exiled as well. Nigarot biyom apo. On the day of Hashem's anger, so all of his crops will also be poured out of his home. They won't be able to enjoy the crops that they brought home. It'll all pour out. He concludes his speech. So Farhan Amati concludes and says, Ze chilek adam rasha me Elohim v'nachalat imro me'el. Here we see the importance of knowing to read the Tamim. The Tam on the word Rasha indicates a pause. If it didn't indicate a pause, then the sentence would mean Rasha me'elokim, someone who is wicked from God. Because the Tam indicates a pause, it means this is the portion of the wicked, pause, from God. Not the wicked from God, but rather the wicked, this is their portion from God. Zeh, this is the portion of a person who is wicked from God, and this is what God will ensure that he gets. So this is a very simplistic view of the world. This is Tzofal's point. So don't tell me that God isn't watching over the world. At the end of the day, look around. Everyone knows it. This is the way things work. The wicked's pleasure is short-lived. You can't deny it. So his point is God is watching over the world. This can't just be an occurrence of nature. There is Ashkacha. God watches over. You see, the wicked don't make it in the end. And just as Hashem pays back the wicked, the underlying message to Eov is, anyone who dares think what you're thinking of God, anyone who dares deride God's actions the way you are, oh boy, is he going to pay. So his speech is not overtly telling Eov you're wrong, but the underlying message to Eov is, boy, are you sinning. And you just wait. This is the way God pays back those sinners. And Bezalel Hashem, next time we'll pick up with Eov's rebuttal.